All righty, Detroit. Well, first of all, thanks everyone to joining us on this rainy afternoon. Good thing to be inside. So let's jump off and have a conversation with Andy, who's our lead technical producer and lead technical video producer and editor at the Alliance. Andy, thanks for making the drive up from Columbus and joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
To get started, can you just give us a brief intro, bio, and overview of the type of work you've been doing at the Alliance and what your role's been in the organization and the project that we did for you?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so I work for a nonprofit called the Alliance, and we are an international nonprofit. We're in 130 cities, over 65 different countries, and the team I'm on creates resources like anything from brochures and graphics to videos, things like that for the 2,000 plus churches that we have in the U.S. So my team in particular, there's four video producers, and I'm just one of them. I'm lead technical because I speak the most
techies.
Yes, techies. So yeah, we produce videos. We travel maybe like roughly six times a year to different countries and shoot stories that focus on people and how the Alliance is helping them, sharing hope with them. And we produce those and share them with our family here in the U.S.
Awesome. So in the project you were involved in with KeyCode, your challenge is how to ingest, manage, and utilize custom metadata deployments and custom file systems to improve your workflow. Yep. First off, can you translate all that technical stuff into plain English for these fine folks today?
Yeah.
And also talk about the way it was phrased by folks internal at the Alliance to
yeah,
you.
Absolutely. So our team will go out on the field. We'll be in a country for maybe 10 days, and we'll shoot a lot of video, a lot of stills. We're always there for a particular story. So some of that content will be for that particular story, interview, whatever. But most of it is just general B-roll like this. This is from Japan. So there's a lot of stuff in there that will have later use for any other projects, you know, especially ones that are broader reach, more than just one particular story. If you want to talk about storage for video files, we had the warehouse, to use an analogy. But each videographer or team of videographers that came back, you know, even though we were organized, you may not know who's in these video clips or these photos. We have a lot of security concerns in terms of what can and can't be shared. So who shot this? Can we use it? Who do we talk to get permission? Stuff like that is all living up here for each trip. You know, the videographer is the only one that knows that. So, when this project first came up, it was, can you find us a solution? How do we keep track of this? So basically what we came up with, talking to KeyCode, is a database and a media encoder, called CatDV. It's kind of these two parts that work together. And, do you want me to go into like the particular how we do stuff or just what the goal was or the problem?
That's going to be the next question. So when you're talking about that video warehouse, I get this mental picture.
Yeah.
Like from the end of Indiana Jones, the warehouse where they're
that's exactly the image I have in my head. Exactly. And nobody knows where anything is in there. If a graphic designer says, hey, I need photos of, you know, food relief, where is that? And I'll be like, oh, I think we got some stuff from Ukraine in 2021, you know, check on Wednesday of that trip. You know, that's how we functioned. And it's really tough.
So then probably the easy thing is let's go through each segment of the workflow that you were retooling.
Mm-hmm.
What specific pain points, I mean, the finding stuff is the key thing, were addressed and how it all went coming together in your overall timeline. So I think ingest or capture of all your assets up front.
Yep. So after the installation of the project, basically what will happen is we will be on the field. We'll capture. We will, you know, structure our folders like normal. But once we get back to the office, we'll dump that into a watch folder, and CatDV will pick up all of that folder structure, you know, the country, the year, the shoot date, who shot it. There's a spot, you know, in one of the folders for any tags like, oh, we were at the market, or this is food distribution, whatever. And it pulls all of that right into a database where, CatDV knows all of that information.
How are the tags getting generated? Are there, you have people that are doing that, or?
Well, so far, everything I've mentioned is just automatic. It just looks at the folder structure, how we've had it set up. Beyond that, we have spots. We're kind of going baby steps because I don't want to overwhelm our videographers who are largely creative and not so detail-oriented. we have tags for things like portrait shots, things like we're a Christian organization, so things like prayer, baptism, things like that that they might be looking for that are tagged by a human. But the way that CatDV is set up, it's super easy to just grab, you know, this whole folder or, you know, shift clicks, like all these things. So you're not having to go file by file.
So custom organization for you, how are you able to accomplish that?
Custom organization in terms of the tags and stuff?
The tags and stuff. Everything predetermined
up to us. We came up with the tags that would be the most beneficial for our designers and our videographers. First, you know, we could tag every single thing, flower, mountain, whatever, but they're not searching for that stuff very much. So what's going to be the most useful?
Most useful production metadata, basically.
Yeah. Best bang for the buck.
Yes. So I know those are the solutions that are out there. What were the key factors led to the decision on landing on CatDV as the management layer, and what benefits has it brought so far to editorial workflows?
Yeah, well, some of the key things we were looking for was on-prem. We already have an on-premises storage, and so we did not want to start like duplicating stuff to the cloud, which most solutions are cloud-based, and you're paying for storage. Our preference was like a upfront purchase cost, which is CatDV. We're a nonprofit functioning off of donations, so having a big yearly cost was not not something we looked for. We have the money, we want to spend it. So those were two of the big things. Integration with Premier, it pulls metadata, I didn't even mention this, it creates proxies for us so that you can browse much easier remotely. Before, it was basically impossible to browse our NAS offsite because we're going through a VPN, you know, 4K 60p footage. Good luck.
So heavy.
It is heavy. So CatDV creates those proxies, attaches them, and so that makes it a lot more doable.
How far are people, when folks are looking for something, how far ranging are they in terms of geography and getting into the system?
Generally not insanely far. I mean, we have people stationed around the country, and of course we travel, but it's pretty rare that I'm pulling footage while I'm in the Middle East, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So any other highlights other than the workflow components, have there been in terms of the editorial pipeline? How was the rollout, and most importantly, user education and training? Because that, the one thing is, you know, you worked with Matt Stamos on our project.
Yep.
On the project. One thing Matt says is, if you like your asset management system, you're obviously not using it.
Yep. There's always something else you want to do or change. Yeah. In terms of our priorities and like what we accomplished, when I took this to our leadership, the number one thing that I told them, the main priority, was not convenience or anything like that. It's where is this data going, right? Who's what's associated with these files? Because when I leave, that information is going to leave with me, right? So that was number one, the number one goal, keeping this in the organization for the next Andy, you know, whoever takes my spot in future years to have. Number two was the offsite workflow, being able to share proxies and view proxies offsite. Number three was for the design team who are not out in the field capturing stuff, for them to be able to find images. And number four, be for my own, you know, workflow and usability. In terms of the rollout, really, really enjoyed working with KeyCode. One of the things that I appreciate, it was just the ownership level that you guys gave us. I've been in other roles at other companies where an integrator comes in and they set it all up. They tell you how you're going to use it, and then they walk away and you're done, right? Like, but the level of ownership, Matt said several times, like, oh yeah, it's yours, you know, do whatever you want. You can't break it, you know, and if you mess something up, we'll fix it. Like, it's okay. You know, just that level of ownership for us to really feel like, yeah. So that was
if
awesome.
If you need to experiment with something, go ahead.
Do it.
Yeah, do it. See what works for you. Because the one thing I've discovered as an engineer and getting into solutions is there's something called the desire path. So if I build a sidewalk along here and a sidewalk along there, but there's the ability to walk through the middle of the chairs, people are going to walk through the middle of the chairs
because
that's what I desire to do. So why not just allow you to build the sidewalk through the chairs?
Yep. Yeah, it's good.
So looking ahead, future platforms, what is the Alliance interested in exploring? Any cool new technical avenues you've heard about and want to delve into to add on to the existing workflow and updates?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard of AI before. It's kind of
AI.
Yeah.
The robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty, Skynet, right?
Skynet.
I mean, we're looking at that. The price is pretty insane right now for us, but I'm very confident the price will come down in the future. So that's something we're looking at to expand those tags. But really, sooner would be, CatDV is living kind of in this, place in production, right? It's not archiving. And it's also not an outward-facing MAM or DAM for like that's public on the internet. And those are two areas that we're looking to expand to next. So, like I said, we produce a lot of resources, you know, logo packs, themes, things like that that we're offering to people to download. So how can we improve that? That would be number one. And then on the other end, going backwards to archives, we've been around since 1886 or something like that. We have all kinds of photos and videos from the 30s, like really incredible stuff that is quite buried. And so, you know, even we don't know about it. We have to go and ask our archives people like, hey, do you have anything on this? And they'll have to look. So those are both areas that we can kind of reach into next and create a more efficient flow in both of those directions. You know, after production, what's going into storage? What's going long-term? What are we deleting? And what's going out to people?
Kind of like Getty Images, being able to look for whatever you want and find it. And the fun thing about the AI piece is, yes, it's expensive, but it's going to be less expensive than hiring like 20 people to go through everything and do the capture and do the tags. So last week in LA, we were talking about AI in great detail, and a lot of people are, you know, scared of AI. It's going to come along and do things. This isn't something you'd be able to do without AI.
No, it won't happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's simply not going to do it. Nope. So we're going to get the robots in to take care of that. We'll do that. And then what are we going to be able to do with that content?
Search.
Utilize it. Yeah, search it and utilize it. And that's the whole key there. You know, you had mentioned the expenses of certain things on the project. As a nonprofit, CapEx and OpEx don't mean anything because you don't have a tax burden like other organizations do, because a lot of people like OpEx because it comes off the bottom line. So with the scale of the project, funding must have been definite consideration. Any insights for others in this sort of situation to acquire funding for tech upgrades and facilities?
Yeah, like you said, it's very different, I think, than a for-profit organization. But I think at the end of the day, the people who are making those decisions are are traditionally not super techie. They don't really care about the new thing, the new gear. And they know that most of us are excited about the new thing and are, you know, maybe have a reputation of always asking for that. So my advice would be to not make it about, you know, your convenience, what this is going to save efficiency or whatever. It's like, oh, you're lazy. But make it about what's the long-term goal. For us, it's actually not about making more money. It's about how is this going to impact people? How are we going to be able to tell the story better? And how are we going to be able to tell the long-term story 10 years from now? How are they going to find these files and how's that going to help people?
Being able to message. And we had talked a little bit beforehand, there's other pieces that kind of play into that, being able to convert the message to other languages and pull translations and transcriptions and all that fun sort of stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
which is going to be a great deal. And that also can work the other way. So you're shooting in Thailand and come back and there's a lot of Thai dialogue, and we'll just turn that into English so I know what the heck is going on.
Yep.
Makes it a lot easier. So the evolution of programming for the Alliance and the kind of work you do, how do you perceive the messaging and programming and production work that you do evolving over the next couple of years, and what strategies have you already implemented to make the team more successful?
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting few years. I'd say I think everyone has seen the demand for either different versions of a piece or just the amount of pieces just skyrocket. You know, we're making 6 versions of each of these videos, Cantonese and Mandarin. We're doing several subtitles, version for social, vertical. We're doing all kinds of stuff. So being able to crank those out as fast as possible is big. In our particular use case, we're also seeing a demand, ironically, for longer form content, which is kind of a swing in the other direction. There is absolutely a need for short form, but what we've been telling ourselves for a long time, you know, a 2-minute piece is all we're going to get. We're actually hearing people saying, we want longer. Like, we actually want to sit and learn about this and know what's going on. We don't want just some entertainment. We want to learn something. So we've been trying to figure out how to do that well too, right?
Almost a documentary style I'm here. I'm in for the long haul. I want to know what the heck this is about.
Yep.
And then also are you looking at other delivery platforms in terms of social?
We
talked,
the social person probably is. I don't know.
Like, you know, Instagram and TikTok.
We're on all of that stuff. Our video content's pretty front and center on all of that, and our photography as well.
So the other thing we talked about is when you're out in the field, and this gets away from the project that you're done with Decode. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of that I find fascinating because you're not there to be, hi, I'm here on the video team. Yep. I'm ready to go.
Yep.
So can you talk about the challenges when you're in country and capturing, you know, data and trying to be
best bang for the buck, best image quality with the lowest profile. We're a team of typically 2 to 3, a producer / stills photographer. We're separate, and then a DP. We'll get the best audio we can, and basically try to keep the lowest profile. We never want people that we're filming, especially ones that are tied to our work, to feel used. We want to make them feel honored and respected, and not like we're using them, basically. We also don't want to draw unnecessary attention from governments in several countries, you know, that we're in, where we don't want them to ask questions. So as much as we can look like, a tourist or someone that's just walking around with a DSLR, mm-hmm. that's our goal. So that presents challenges as well when you're trying to produce high quality content.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Andy, thanks for joining me here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks, everybody, for coming on out. And I think the vendor tables are still open for a bit, and the raffle's coming up in a little bit later.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks for watching Broadcast to Post. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. Follow Keycode Media on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to receive news on additional AV, broadcast, and post-production technology content. See you next time, folks.